I have to go upstairs and record something again, so
quiet
and do not
smash anything
and do not disturb.
Do not disturb.
Do not come into your room.
Hi, you're listening to Pandemic, a new podcast from RTE News and Current Affairs on the COVID-19 crisis. I'm Cullum O'Mungoyne, and most days of the week I'll be talking to RTE's correspondents, reporters and others to bring you news, updates and analysis you can trust. We can guarantee you a high quality of information. The sound quality, on the other hand, might vary somewhat sometimes, as correspondents and I will be recording this, in many cases, on mobile devices from home, so please do bear with us. It's Tuesday, May 26th, and at the time of recording this, over 5.5 million people have been recorded as infected with COVID-19 around the world. Around 348,000 people have died. The death toll here in Ireland has increased to 1,615, with 9 more people dying in the last 24 hours. 37 more cases of coronavirus have been diagnosed here in the Republic, bringing the number of confirmed cases to over 24,000. In Northern Ireland, no coronavirus-related deaths were recorded in the past 24 hours. We're going to use today's episode to have a look at this morning's sitting of the Special Oireachtas Committee on the Response to COVID-19. Now, at the time of recording, the committee was looking at the area of direct provision, and we will return to that issue. But the impact of COVID-19 on nursing homes was the area of focus this morning, when Tadhg Daly, the CEO of Nursing Homes Ireland, appeared before members. Now, bear in mind that more than half of the people who have died from coronavirus in Ireland have died in nursing homes. Tadhg Daly laid out his concerns to the committee about how long it took for specific targeted action to be taken to address the concerns of private nursing homes, which he represents. Access to personal protection equipment, loss of staff, a number of other issues were raised. So here's some of his opening statement.
Key state organisations left the nursing home sector and its residents isolated in those early days. The dismay will live forever with us. But we welcome Minister Harris' lead in eventually bringing senior officials from his department and the HSE around the table to support the sector and indeed our residents in coping with COVID-19.
Tadhg Daly was asked by Sinn Féin's Louise O'Reilly about his view as to whether infections had entered the nursing homes via patients transferred from acute hospitals.
Would you, in your opinion, say it's possible that in some instances the virus may have come into nursing homes via those discharges because of the lack of risk assessment, the lack of medical assessment and the failure to test prior to transfer?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a public health expert, deputy, or a virologist, but clearly...
No, I'm only asking for your opinion,
yeah, well,
Mr. Daly.
But clearly the virus was so easily transmissible, and given what we know now about the levels of community transmission in probably February at this point in time, I would say, yes, it was a contributory factor.
Now, Tadhg Daly got some pushback from a couple of Fine Gael TDs, as you'll hear, about the concerns he raised. Let's hear first from Louth Deputy Fergus O'Dowd.
Your engagement with the department began in late February, is that correct?
28th of February, we wrote
right
to the department.
Okay. There's 400 pieces of correspondence between you and the Department of Health. Would that be correct?
I didn't realise it was so
well, it
vast.
Is. But the key point I'm making to you is your statement that key state organisations left the nursing home sector and its residents isolated is patently and obviously untrue.
Sinn Féin's David Cullinan from Waterford returned to that contribution in his questioning.
And what about Deputy Dowd's assertion then? Because he was given a very robust defence of the department. Mr Breslin, when he was here last week and I put questions to him in relation to some of these issues, he said there was guidance, there was a plan. This was right through now, February and March, contradicting many of what's in all of the correspondence in your opening statement. How do you respond to the questions that were put to you by Deputy Dowd, but also from the head of the department, who is saying, downplaying, if you like, the issues that you have raised? Right through all of that correspondence and in your opening statement?
Well, look, the correspondence speaks for itself, obviously, number one, I would say. We had very good engagement with officials, because I would deal with officials, obviously, in the department on an ongoing basis. So, and that would be my natural, I suppose, modus operandi, if you like, is to work with people.
Did you feel let down, Mr. Daly? Is that the frustration?
Well, I don't think it's about me.
No, but did you feel it on behalf of your members? This is about patients in the nursing home.
This is about residents, absolutely.
So did you feel that those patients were let down?
I do. I think that as a society, we didn't pay enough attention to the care needs of those in residential care.
Mr. Daly again faced pointed questions, very pointed questions, from Fine Gael Deputy for Dunleary, Jennifer Carroll McNeil.
You're here today, Mr. Daly, representing Nursing Homes Ireland, which, you know, is a for-profit facility for private nursing homes. From the 28th of February onwards, which of course is the end of February, a very significant engagement on a daily and often multiple times daily at Assistant Secretary level with Kathleen McClellan. And I think it's important, because of what you have said, to go through some of that. So Dr. Kathleen McClellan, who's the Assistant Secretary in the Social Care Division, is chairing that subgroup and is the primary point of correspondence with you. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Were you disappointed with the level of engagement provided by Dr. McClellan?
Not with the level of engagement. The issue was that the national plan that was coming, what I was hearing was that matters were being escalated. And if you look at the correspondence, you'll see that the issues we were raising, we were being told they were being escalated to the working group.
I don't want to take the committee's time by going through this in too great detail, but here we go. 10th of March, from the Secretary-General, in response to your letter of 9 March, as part of preparedness planning, we are examining a range of workforce issues. I've asked relevant officials to look at that. This is the early March part where you said that you were feeling isolated. Again, 10th of March, 10th of but March, the... 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Dear Kathleen, it just goes on again and again. I understand guidance is being issued. Thank you for issuing the guidance. I'm curious, how is it that you felt isolated precisely? Because this is all of the correspondence just from a period between the 2nd of March and the 10th of March, just here. So how is it exactly that you were isolated? Was it the particular engagement of the minister that you were seeking?
It wasn't that I felt isolated, Deputy, at all. It was the sector that I represent felt isolated. My approach and my emails reflect my approach to working collaboratively with people, and what I was looking for was guidance, advice and escalation of matters. The issue you refer to in terms of the Secretary-General responding, he said that it was escalated to other officials in the department. I still haven't had a response to that particular escalation matter.
And then finally, Fianna Fáil's John McGuinness from Kilkenny asked Mr. Daly if a public inquiry was called for. When Mr. Daly demurred, he was called on to harden his language, and John McGuinness also had other lines of inquiry to pursue, specifically on the issue of information sharing.
But the fact of the matter is that there is conflict between some of the issues that you would raise here, the Department of Health and NPHET and so on. They need to be sorted out. We need to be clear as policy makers. We need to be clear where the failures were, where the failures occurred. We need to be clear about the evidence that you would have for some of your statements. And certainly I would want to be clear on the direction that nursing homes will take for the future, because it is without doubt, it's a shame on all of us that this happened, and it's a shame on all of us that there wasn't the type of response that there should have been from those that were centre to delivering a response to your queries. And you're the one that's highlighting on
yeah,
it. You're the one that's saying it.
Absolutely, Deputy.
Don't dress it up.
No, but the point I'm making is that there was a very ambitious and necessary plan for the acute hospitals. That's clear that happened. And that, our view and our position is that didn't happen in terms of community care, and that is a failure in my mind.
Okay. Did the nursing homes withhold information from family members in relation to the care and the issues that you were facing?
No. The issue did, there that
well, if you say no, fine.
Yeah. No.
Did the nursing homes prevent testing within the homes? Testing of staff.
I don't.
Was there a question around that, that nursing homes tried to avoid the testing of staff at some stage?
I'm not
some
aware
of them.
I mean we were calling for testing.
Right. Well, can you just check that out?
I can. We were calling for testing and calling for a robust element of testing.
Is it not another scandal where the information required by families to make an informed decision about the care of their loved ones in these nursing homes was withheld from them?
That didn't happen, Deputy. What happened there was that on the 1st of March, when the first case broke out, NPHET at that time issued a statement saying that all of the information would be handled centrally. So in the early stages, what we would have said to members was that speculation, the point that Mr. Taylor made earlier on, speculation about the number of cases and clusters wasn't helpful. Families, I've made
so
the point...
So you withheld the information?
No, no. The families would be... The two calls would happen in what I would term ordinary times. One is to the ambulance, potentially, if someone fell, and the other is to the family. Families at all stage, I'm absolutely 100% confident and can stand over the fact that families of those who had residents in nursing homes were kept informed at all stages. There were challenges there in terms of staffing, no doubt, in terms of answering all the queries.
So what's the current guidelines?
The current guidelines are the same as they have been for the last 9 weeks, which is basically that the families should be informed at all stages, absolutely, and that has always been the case.
So let's go straight to Sandra Hurley now from our political staff, who not only watched the committee proceedings this morning, but also waded through a good deal of the documentation that was put before the committee for this morning's session. It amounted to hundreds of pages of correspondence between the Department of Health and Nursing Homes Ireland. Howdy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You've been busy going through. I think there was a few hundred documents dumped in front of the committee for them to go through, and you've been rising to the challenge of going through the crucial period of March. So we heard from some of the committee there on the issue around isolation of Nursing Homes Ireland, the private nursing home sector. What have you been finding out in terms of Tadhg Daly's version of events as revealed in this correspondence?
Well, I think that really is the key question, whether nursing homes were left isolated, as they have said. And when you go through this correspondence, you know, March really is the critical period. By the beginning of March, it was becoming very obvious that coronavirus was going to be a major crisis and that older people in particular were going to be hit harder. And we heard a lot of this correspondence, it has to be said, sometimes selectively quoted from at the committee today. But as it happened, the whole tranche of it from January to May was released by the department only an hour and a half before the committee, so not a lot of time to go through it. But as I said, I've been focusing on March just to see what came out of it. And it really does back up Tadhg Daly's version of events, that the whole way through the month, he was corresponding with officials in the Department of Health, sending direct emails to the minister, really looking for help and pressing the urgency of the situation. He's looking for help with staffing, he's looking for help with PPE, he's looking for meetings with the minister, and he's not getting any of this. And one of the things that he said at the committee was that there was good engagement with officials. And you see officials responding to the correspondence, but he said that it was only when they met the minister at the end of March that matters took off, and that there was a lot of frustration for them because there was no specific plan until early April. And what you see from the responses from the department is that they are sort of firing around the emails within the department. It's being sent from one individual to another for their attention, but there's very little in terms of concrete responses and actual hard information going back to Nursing Homes Ireland. So
that kind of informed the lines of questioning that were there in front of the committee. So on the one hand, you had opposition politicians largely being sympathetic and trying almost to get Tadhg Daly to harden up his criticisms. On the other hand, the party colleagues of the minister, members of Fine Gael at the committee, were scratching their heads and saying, well, look at the volume of correspondence. There was plenty of engagement, but this is what you've been looking at is more about the quality of the results of that engagement.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, early in March, he's raising concerns with the department about Nursing Homes Ireland not being represented on the National Public Health Emergency Team. He also tells them that he's going ahead to issue those visitor restrictions. We remember when that happened and it was done sort of unilaterally and NPHET wasn't happy. But then by March 9th, they're raising the recruitment issues because the department had issued and the HSE had issued this national recruitment drive. And Tadhg Daly in all this correspondence repeatedly makes the point that they were going to take people from the nursing home sector. And this is one of the key points he made today, that it left them bereft of people. And later in the month, just on the staffing, something that also comes through is that the pandemic unemployment payment, that €350 a week, he raises this because he said many of their workers are part-time. The sector, after the PUP was put in place, had begun to experience absenteeism, with many members thinking that it was because it wasn't worth their while for employees to come to work.
Right. Would you say that's a fair characterisation, by the way, of as to how the lines of questioning broke down along party lines?
Yes, I think that really came across. You know, Fine Gael, the two Fine Gael members, Fergus O'Dowd and Jennifer Carroll McNeill, were definitely took a more antagonistic line. Fergus O'Dowd in particular was very strong in his criticism of Nursing Homes Ireland. He, of course, is a former junior minister for older people. And he straight out said that it was patently and obviously untrue that Nursing Homes Ireland was left isolated. He said that was not a fact. He said they could have helped themselves. He said that, you know, Nursing Homes Ireland were privately funded. They'd lots of money and they could have spent that money themselves. He asked for Tadhg Daly to come up with the figure for how much they had spent in trying to combat coronavirus, and Tadhg Daly said the figure ran into millions and he'd come back to them with the precise amount. But Fergus O'Dowd went on to say that nursing homes were very wealthy companies and that what they were doing at the committee was complaining that the taxpayer wasn't doing enough for them. And Fergus O'Dowd went on to say that he thought the system of care needed to be totally changed. Now, somebody else who took a line similar to that actually is the Labour TD, Duncan Smith. He said to Tadhg Daly that it was pretty clear that Mr. Daly was shifting responsibility to the HSE. Now, Mr. Daly rejected that. He said he was just highlighting the facts and that there were gaps in supports. What you see again in the correspondence, though, is him repeatedly asking for meetings, saying that they're urgently requiring meetings. But by March 12th, an official responds saying that particular officials won't be able to get back to you, won't be able to respond to you because they are involved in multiple high-level meetings. Later on, he says again that he's urgently requesting a meeting with the minister. He doesn't get that. He gets a conference call with officials on March 20th. On March 25th, he writes to Jim Daly, the minister with the responsibility for older people, and says that there's been no response to our request to meet with Simon Harris, which Tadhg Daly says in the email is inexplicable. And it's not until March 30th that he actually does get that meeting with Simon Harris.
All right. OK, thanks a million, Sandra.
OK, great. Thank you.
Now, also watching the committee was Fergal Bowers, our health correspondent. What did you make of the proceedings so far?
Well, I suppose one of the big issues that came out is that there were suggestions that perhaps, you know, there's quite a blame game going on across all parts of the health sector that deal with the nursing home sector. So the Department of Health, the HSE, HICWA and Nursing Homes Ireland. And I think one of the observations some people were making that possibly because 80% of the nursing home sector is privatised, it may be some way disjointed from public policy. Although, of course, yeah, a huge proportion of people are cared for in private nursing home sector under the Fair Deal nursing home scheme and are discharged from hospital. So there is that overarching point, I think. But in relation to nursing homes, we can see that there was quite an interesting point raised in relation to Stephen Donnelly for Fianna Fáil, raised it in relation to the NPHET, the National Public Health Emergency Team. So, and HICWA were on that team. And when did HICWA first raise issues about nursing homes? And he went through a very long list of meetings that HICWA were at on NPHET. But eventually, nursing homes were raised on the 10th of March. And the issue then was that the, you know, unilateral decision to restrict visiting homes wasn't needed. Now, you know, that was brought in by nursing homes and that was deemed as unnecessary. That was interesting. And also the fact that nursing homes issue itself seems to have come quite late into the whole debate. And the argument being that perhaps it was the case that, you know, the priority was to look after acute hospitals where everyone thought the surge would be and testing in the community, whereas what really happened was the surge was in, to a large degree, in nursing homes.
We kind of knew what Tadhg Daly would say. He's said it in a couple of interviews. Indeed, we ran an extensive interview with him on this podcast a while ago where he talked about his frustrations running from late February, seeking meetings with the ministers, his engagement with officials in the department. He had particular frustrations with the National Treatment Purchase Fund, which is the state agency, which, as you mentioned there, administers the Fair Deal scheme and purchases nursing home services for people who are moving from hospital into the nursing home setting. He has said all of that before, but it was quite interesting that in the lead up to his appearance before the committee, you could see over the last number of weeks a fair bit of pushback against what Tadhg Daly has been saying for the last while.
Yes, now he came up with some interesting figures. I mean, that 1,000 people are transferred every month from acute hospitals to nursing homes. And over the first 3 months of this year, 2,500 people were transferred to nursing homes for Fair Deal cover. Now, obviously, one issue would be when testing came in. But basically, the point that was being made was that the discharge of a large number of patients from acute hospitals to nursing homes without testing at the start of the outbreak, which he says contributed substantially to the problem. And we've heard from the HSE saying that, look, there was no handbook at this time. Everyone was learning about the virus and guidance was based on information at the time. They had 670 delayed discharges in hospital. So these are people who are ready to be discharged. And they wanted, obviously, to have as many as possible discharged so that they wouldn't be at risk remaining in hospital and potentially exposed to COVID-19 if there was a surge within the hospital system. And the HSE says the advice was that if anyone had suspected symptoms of among those people, they weren't to be transferred to a private nursing home. So, you know, certainly a lot of toing and froing on it. And also the claim from nursing homes, there was aggressive recruitment of staff by the HSE from nursing homes.
Yeah, there just seems to be, the approach seems to be on the issue, say, of visits. And the chief medical officer has come out and said that it was absolutely the correct decision to make at the time, that there's no evidence that visitors brought infections into nursing homes. It seems unusual that for a group, NPHET, that exercises a fair bit of caution, that they're saying that they were still right to believe that the nursing homes were wrong when they were talking about restricting visiting. I mean, why bother defending that position?
Well, because I know we have seen a graph presented at one of the press briefings in the evening, and the chief medical officer has indicated that the decision in time to advise that there's no necessity for a unilateral restriction on visiting, when they look at that graph and look at how things progressed, in terms of a moment in time, he says the data doesn't point to that event, you know, lifting restrictions, visiting restrictions, having an impact on driving the virus within nursing homes. That the statistics show that it was at a much later stage that the rise in cases were seen in nursing homes. So that's certainly their position.
So what's the implication as to how cases did get into nursing homes then? Because we have the HSE saying that it probably didn't come from the hospital transfers, and that's Tadhg Daly's concern. Tadhg Daly believes that, this is the CEO of Nursing Homes Ireland, he believes that the difficulties around restricting visits that were caused by NPHET, questioning it, that lessened their capacity to be able to protect people from the risk of infection coming in from visits, because families were saying, well, why are you preventing us from visiting? This is NPHET says this isn't necessary. So what's the implication then, that nursing home workers were picking this up in accommodation? Is there some kind of an implicit issue being raised about nursing homes not taking adequate steps themselves to ensure that their staff were isolating outside of work hours? What are we supposed to read from this?
Well, I don't think anyone wants to blame anyone for the arrival of coronavirus in nursing homes. Clearly, it got into nursing homes, but I don't think anyone wants to suggest for one moment that family members are in any way responsible or that individual groups of staff are responsible. But it did get in. But one of the problems is that 40%, we know certainly at this point that about 40% of cases can be asymptomatic. So that means someone might have the virus, but they're not showing symptoms. So if you're transferring people from hospital to a nursing home, we now know that they may have the virus, but they're not displaying symptoms. So look, it has to have got in through a number of factors. And I think what the nursing homes would argue is that at that point when, you know, we were pleading for meetings and we felt isolated, we needed personal protective equipment, but that was being sequestered by the health service nationally. And a combination of not being able to get the piece of equipment, being put under pressure in relation to staff, that testing in homes wasn't being done.
Yeah, they said they wanted a double test carried out. They said they wanted people tested twice, and that didn't become a protocol until much later, number one. And secondly, I think they still want their own staff within nursing homes to be able to carry out the swabbing and submit that for testing.
Yes, and they also said they claimed there was a lack of clinical oversight by GPs and geriatricians in relation to nursing homes. So quite a list of claims and counterclaims in relation to it. We also heard from the Health Information and Quality Authority today.
These are the people charged with inspecting nursing homes and indeed inspecting health facilities throughout the state and a number of other tasks. But you, as we record this in the late afternoon, you're just after coming off the back of watching some of what they had to say in the committee. What, anything jump out at you from that?
Yes, well, HICWA, is responsible for basically inspecting 584 nursing homes in the system and has about 24 inspectors. I suppose what stood out today was that, as we speak, HICWA haven't gone into any nursing home where there's been a COVID-19 outbreak. And they say that's going to start tomorrow. Now, they say there has been a process whereby all nursing home centres have been formally contacted and asked how they're managing, and that's been done regularly. They have done about 200 inspections. They've done inspections on homes that are opening as new centres and aspects like that. They did make the point today that I suppose it's a difficulty that HICWA has, and they say there is a need for further powers. HICWA doesn't go and investigate individual cases. I mean, you can't report, for example, say you have a family member who's in a nursing home and has experienced a particular care problem or issue. HICWA doesn't individually investigate that. Right. So HICWA has said at this committee meeting that there's no national clinical oversight. There's no national oversight model of clinical care in nursing homes. And it's a problem, certainly they have pointed to, that exists here. Everybody's responsible for the sector, and maybe no one is totally responsible for the sector. And it's a problem because it's a public and private mix of healthcare.
So did they give a rationale as to why they hadn't visited homes in which infections had broken out? Is that a limited number of inspectors? Is it concerns around infection of people who would inspect on HICWA's behalf? Or is it that issue you've just touched on there about the powers and the way they're set up to inspect?
Well, the discussion is still continuing there as I left it. And it's a question that certainly we will be interested in hearing an answer to. One of the other issues is that how nursing homes are going to operate in the coming weeks and months is an issue, because social distancing will mean fewer people in nursing homes, and that has implications.
It's a sector where there isn't an abundance of places anyway. For people looking for step down from hospitals, that has been a constant pressure point, that there may not be a nursing home place for them to go to under the Fair Deal. And now, presumably, we'll be looking at single rooms, which is another pressure point.
Well, there isn't a time yet. The short time frame that's ahead, you don't have the ability to do the physical change. There's also a loss of income, obviously, for private nursing homes if there's a fall in numbers. And that might end up putting more pressure on the limited statutory public community services that exist. We also got an insight, but John McGuinness from Fianna Fáil raised this issue. He was asking, HICWA, did they get any complaints from families or from staff or from residents about what was going on in nursing homes? And yes, they did. So they got 28 issues of concern raised in March, 176 in April, and 88 in May. And from staff, it was about getting access to personal protective equipment. In relation to residents, it was the isolation and loneliness they felt. And in relation to families, it was the number of deaths that were occurring. It was the safety issues and the social isolation that people were feeling within nursing homes.
And there was this issue of information being communicated. John McGuinness, the Fianna Fáil deputy, raised this, and I think it came up in the Sunday Business Post over the weekend, the level of information that was being passed on by nursing homes.
There was an issue in relation to telling members of the public and also possibly media as to whether there had been an outbreak in a particular home, that it might draw attention to it and be a breach of patient confidentiality. However, what we're told is that if family members were inquiring as to whether there had been, a case or cases or an outbreak of COVID-19, that family members were being told. So I suppose a subtle line in the sand there as to what information could be given out.
There was a significant number at the briefing last night in terms of the fatalities in the previous 24 hours. We just touched on it at the top of yesterday's podcast, but we were recording in the evening just as that briefing was ongoing. So no fatalities in the previous 24 hours leading up to yesterday.
Yes, it's been a long time since we've been in a position where we've been able to report no deaths in 24-hour period. And yesterday, no deaths. there were 59 new cases reported. The last occasion that there were no deaths reported was on March the 21st, so that's 9 weeks back. So it was an important moment. Obviously, there can be a bit of a time lag at weekend over weekends in case reporting. So in terms of what we hear today, you know, it mightn't be a surprise if there's an increase in cases or we hear some further deaths today. But to have a day with no deaths is you know, an encouraging and somewhat uplifting and a day because of the terrible impact, 1,500 deaths and the number of cases have had on families and individuals.
All right. Thanks, Virgo.
All right. Take care yourself.
Cheers. And that's all for this episode of Pandemic. We're back tomorrow with more. In the meantime, do get in contact with suggestions or questions by email to colm.omongain@rte.ie. That's colm.omongain@rte.ie. Or on Twitter at @ColumOmongain. Do subscribe through your usual podcast platform to get this podcast regularly. Reviews are welcome. And of course, nice reviews even more welcome. So until tomorrow, take care. So long.